Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
Dr. Daniel Zangrilli has entered the studio. How are you, Dan?
Good. Greetings. Welcome to the machine.
Thank you. It's good to be here. Yep. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You know Dan from all the Pirate stuff, pregame, postgame, Saturdays, whatever else Dan does. He's the guy on the Pirates. He's the guy I was listening to last night. I don't know what time it was, 9:30 or so on the postgame, and people were unhappy. And the Pirates were turned over in order six different times in the game. And part of the theme of the postgame, Dan, was how do you rectify this? Like, is this going to have to get torn up again? How close are they? How close are they not? I've maintained they have the equivalent of a franchise quarterback in not just schemes, but young pitching led by a stud like that. To me, that's the hard part. That's the equivalent of having a franchise guy in the NFL. And if you have one, to me at least, you are by definition pretty close. You're pretty close and yet so far. So how do they get there? Where do they find hitters? Where do they find one-star hitter?
So let me ask you this, and because I don't know really the answer to this question, and it's the one that gives me pause, just like I'm assuming it gives you pause. If the Pirates have done the hardest thing well,
yes,
and that is draft, develop, and extrapolate as much possible value with their pitching, have they done a good job?
No.
If they have checked the toughest box to check, and if we agree that pitching is the best way to sustain something, have they done a good job? Or is it a good enough job to keep their jobs?
No.
Okay.
In a word, and I would compare it to the Cincinnati Bengals, who have Joe Burrow. Well, how'd they get him? The same way the Pirates got Skeens, by sucking.
Well, I mean,
that's one thing, but they haven't even been able to build a modicum of a defense. Now, they did get to the Super Bowl one year, but when you look at Burrow as a whole, it's getting worse. It's getting worse. You look at last year. So I think to myself, all right, you got kind of lucky to get him. You can't even build a semi-respectable defense, and to translate that to the Pirates, like, am I still watching Spencer Horwitz as your cleanup hit? You can't even, you have a historically bad lineup? Really? You can't do better than that. That's my answer.
So, again, do you then make a change and then upend all of that? Because it's really hard to put together what they've put together from a pitching side of things, Joe. That's what gives me pause.
Or did they just get lucky?
With all of the arms?
Or bad?
With all of the arms? I don't know. I mean, they fixed Keller. They have some pretty good bullpen success stories. And I'm not sitting here defending them. I'm just asking the question and trying to look at it objectively.
Yeah, no, I hear that. So, but without Skeens, none of the other ones matter. I mean, he makes it
sure?
all. Yeah, he makes it all come together. We wouldn't be talking about their rotation.
But to say it doesn't matter, I don't know. I mean, they fixed Keller. You know, Chandler's on the precipice. Barco's on the precipice. They have a lot of internal pitching success stories to the point where it's an area of strength, a surplus, if you will. That's actually a pretty decent job. I don't give them passes for where they're at in year six, but when we talk about change is a big deal in baseball.
Yeah.
Do you undo that change? With the change, do you undo that success?
Well,
and how much is that success weighted in what you're talking about.
The arms are here. So that part's been done. Somebody else may have to come in and do the rest. I mean, the Tigers had a regime change, right? In the midst of what was a very long rebuild, as you were talking about last night. Yeah. Somebody else, it would seem to me, would need to come in and finish the job here.
So we're talking about, which a lot of general managers don't want to do, Joe, is come into a halfway built house.
Yeah.
With drywall on the walls, but it's unfinished. The light fixtures aren't there. They may not see a pathway forward, and they may say, hey, guess what? I've got to start parsing off assets here, and I've got to unless you're under strict parameters, the owner hires you with a caveat that you can't do this, that, or the other thing.
Right.
You know, you inherit the manager. You inherit, you know, these guys are untouchable. They're off limits.
Right.
What GM is going to want to come in? I don't know. I don't think I can do that. That's not the way that I would come in and build that team. I mean, then you're taking an already narrow search and bringing it even into a, you're looking for a needle in a haystack of a GM.
Well, there's only, 30 of these things on planet Earth. So every job is a good job to me, even with the Pirates. And then the other side of that is just what we're talking about. If I was a GM candidate and walked into Bob Nutting's office, I'm pounding my fist on the table and saying, Bob, you're this close. You're this close. Well, you have Paul Skeens. You have all these young arms. I need to be able to parlay some of them, not Skeens, some of them into what you don't have, which is, you know, the Bengals defense is what you have right now. And it's only going to take a couple, but I have to be able to do that. We have to sign one guy, and then I've got to be able to parlay some of these arms into another guy. We're this close. Nobody wants to believe that. I believe that. You can build a bullpen. The bullpen, it looks good right now to me. You've got the starters. This guy has done a historically hideous job finding, developing, signing, trading for hitters. I'm walking into Nutting's offense and saying, I can do that. I can finish this job.
So if they're this close, change is still necessary in your opinion, though.
So close and yet so far. When we say this close, because he has to find hitters.
It's almost like a backhanded compliment of saying, hey, good job, right?
No.
Okay.
Because so close yet so far, again, we have the hard part figured out, but right. This guy's had 6 years to find hitters. He doesn't have people knocking on the door at AAA.
Hey, Billy Cook's coming up.
Ron's long-lost son. I'm very proud of him. I understand your point. I think we both have points.
And it's more of a devil's advocate point. I think I'm more inclined, Joe, to agree with you, but I try to look at this objectively, and when you talk about change, and if you're going to advocate for it, and if you're going to push the yes button for change, what does that button actually do? What does it mean? And that's
what does the no button mean first?
The no means you just try to, if they're that close, and I don't know what yard line they're on, while the organization and the regime has plenty of faults and as many success stories as they've had, they probably have a lot more stories of failure where they've fallen short. But what yard line are they on? And if you're this close, and we're talking about working this within the Skeens window, right? Because that's the true deadline that everybody is on.
Right.
Then if you push that change button, what does it do to that timeline? What does it do?
It should accelerate it. That would be the reason for doing it.
You would hope so.
I need Jim Rutherford. I'm getting to in the Penguins case, I'm getting to the playoffs every year. We can't score in the playoffs. We're not winning in the playoffs. Not only are we close, we're actually there. We're in the playoffs every year. We can't finish the deal. What do? You bring in a hired gun, a guy who's not afraid to wheel and deal and try to get you what you need. And that's exactly what he did. I don't think that Ben Cherington can do that on the offensive side. And you have to have that side. He's done nothing to inspire any confidence that him and his people can identify and find hitters. And you can't win without any.
Sure. So how far is close? That's the question. How far is close? I can't quantify that. I don't know how far close is.
Couple hitters, three hitters. Like, I think only like one star hitter would get them around 500 or above, which is by definition contending. But to actually win, how close is close? About three high-impact hitters.
That may be much further than close.
Hence the riddle. So close and yet so far.
Where's my Rasputin beer?
Right. I mean, but if I can go sign Tommy Pham and Adam Frazier and whoever the hell else and just pull that into one guy for a couple of years, Jock Peterson has fallen off a cliff here. I don't know what happened to him, but that type of deal.
Paul Goldschmidt, Reese Hoskins.
2 years, $30 million. Then I take, I don't know, a Bubba Chandler, some of these other young arms, and parlay them into a little higher level of a deal than Ortiz for Horwitz. But man, have you seen what Ortiz is doing lately?
No, I haven't, but I would venture a guess.
Last seven starts, something like a 2.79 ERA.
Predictable.
All right, Dan. That was an interesting talk.
So,
would you like to complete it from your end?
No, I mean, I think we've covered all the ground, and I think the solution and the tweak here is in line with what you're saying and something that I spoke at length with a really good call that we had on the postgame show last night. It's maybe if you're going to have $30, $35 million, rather than you know chop that up into little itty-bitty pieces that don't move the needles, I think that, yes, a bigger aircraft carrier type of bat that you could just drop in fourth, fifth, that might be a couple of years, that might be $15 to $18 million, almost what they did with Aroldis Chapman. That was actually
yes.
a successful
right.
free agent acquisition. It was a big chunk, big dollar amount, but they went for it in that respect, and I think it was a really pivotal part of that bullpen. And I'm just thinking of deals that have come and gone. You know, Reese Hoskins is a really nice pickup for the Brewers.
They went cheaper and brought in Rowdy.
And right, and then you have Paul Goldschmidt, you know, who I don't know if he would have signed here, but that didn't seem to be all that untenable for the Yankees. There was a ton of risk considering where he's at, how old he is, where he's in his career, but it's where, and maybe he's a bigger byproduct of their infrastructure, their system, plopping him in that lineup versus the Pirates lineup. He's going to flourish there far more than he would here, having to be the guy as opposed to, you know, the sixth best guy in the Yankees lineup. But yeah, Goldschmidt would have been really nice in this lineup, I think.
Yeah, man. I saw Jim Bowden. We're talking to Dan Zangrilli here in studio. I saw where Jim Bowden over at The Athletic was advocating six trades he would like to see. The one for the Pirates to me was interesting, but just comical. May I read? Have you seen it yet?
I haven't, but let's
peruse it.
Let's indulge.
This was his sixth one. Pirates trade David Bednar to the Tigers for outfielder Chris Rodriguez. Okay, so the Tigers need another high leverage reliever. Enter Bednar. Blah blah blah. Okay, in this scenario, the Pirates would get Rodriguez, who is only 17 and at least 4 years from the majors. Dan, why don't they go out and get a 9-year-old at this point? And trade for one and just project him ahead to when he's 23. So he signed with Detroit for like a $3 million international bonus. He's an incredibly talented kid, but there's no time for that at the moment. We don't have time for an 11-year-old to come here and develop into a baseball player. They have to find players who can help them now. Dan just talked about the window. By the way, the window for O'Neill Cruz is going to shut pretty soon.
Sure. I mean, the time's ticking, man. It really is. No, I would not make that deal if, as we've heard from the owner himself, the urgency is on now. They need to make more now moves. And throw another fly in the ointment. Who's going to play shortstop if and when they trade IKF at the deadline? He's probably going to be their most valuable trade chip, assuming there'll be sellers at the deadline, assuming that they aren't going to embark on an extension for Kiner Falefa. Who plays shortstop?
Triolo?
Yeah, technically, yes.
I guess him.
But I mean, for real.
Gonzalez?
For real.
For real. Michael McHenry says we could see Connor Griffin sometime next season. Do you think that's realistic?
I mean, he's on a trajectory here that's very fast. Let's see when he gets to double A, and maybe that is this year.
This could be next week he gets to double A.
Yeah, I know.
He's killing high A.
Sure, and remember, their ballpark is a joke, too, down there. So look at the home road splits and dive deep into those numbers. I'm not going to get a twofold there because it's, again, a huge, I mean, it's a ridiculous
is it
ballpark. It's a joke.
The grasshopper playing a small ballpark? That seems fitting.
A grasshopper can leap from home plate and get
their
over the
leadoff
left field
hitter
wall.
Is Jiminy Cricket, I heard. Go ahead, Dan.
So, yeah, I mean, let's see when he gets to Double A, when he sees real arms in a really pitching-friendly league like the Eastern League. But that would be wonderful if Connor Griffin is here playing shortstop. And again, there's questions as to whether he's going to be a big almost the same O'Neill Cruz type of, I don't want to call it predicament that they have.
Yeah.
But who's going to play shortstop? The Pirates don't have a shortstop. And I don't suspect IKF is here in August because there's going to be a lot of teams. He's going to fit so nicely on a lot of contenders. And the offensive piece, offense is going to be, I think, at a premium, and people are going to be willing to pay a big price for that. So I think you can, of all the trade chips, I'd probably rank them IKF, Frazier, and then maybe Heaney.
Unless they're willing to dig into like a big
maybe
pitching trade, like a Keller.
Right. And I think if you're going to deal Keller, you know, you probably almost have to package Hayes in that to get rid of the
please,
money.
Please, please, please. I can't watch that. I'm like the guy, do we have the Zangrilli clip where the guy says, please, Dan, what does he say? What's the famous, that guy?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.
That is every Pirate fan. IKF. I can't watch Key Brian Hayes anymore. I can't do it, Dan. Play that guy again. I can't watch it anymore. He just strolls out there every day and tops four balls in a row and never gets a hit. He never gets a hit. What are they going to do with him? What would you do with him?
I mean, it's Exhibit A as to, you know, long-term contracts and the inherent risk.
Oh, my God.
I mean, the Orioles choked on, what was it, the Chris Young deal?
Chris Davis deal
forever, and now the Rockies are choking on the Chris Bryant deal as we speak.
But at least those guys had prodigious offensive seasons. This guy's had a good month.
Yeah, you rolled the dice and you tried to extend one of your own, and here you sit with whatever this is.
What is this? What are they going to do? What? Nothing? How about if Triolo just plays for a while? How about if there's at least a tiny sliver of accountability where we say, you know what? You stink offensively. Triolo right now looks like Mike Schmidt at the plate compared to you. He's actually been hitting well. Play him for a while at third. Just please do something. I can't watch it anymore.
Are you okay?
No.
I love you.
That's what you said to him.
That's all I can do.
That's what you said to him.
This is what I do. I just wrap my arms around everybody.
You're part therapist.
And
you
embrace.
Should charge money for this stuff. You really should. Okay, let me ask you a couple of quick questions. We'll just do quick answer, quick
yes,
question. Is Bart going back to be the starting pitcher? Because that makes no sense.
No,
you have
they're
to find
split
out.
That. They're, okay. They've got to split that. I'm more inclined to actually lean towards Davis because there's not much slug in Bart's game right now. So I think you have to go, you know, three on, four off, three, four on, three off, or alternate. You got to split that down the middle. Again, favoring Davis because there's more invested in him.
Right.
But, you know, Bart's positional flexibility would be a really nice thing if they could develop that. I like him. You know, maybe you have a Horwitz-Bart platoon at first base because Bart has hit left-handers well. He just needs to slug more.
All right, let's move around the diamond. When they went out and got Spencer Horwitz, Keith Law said the Pirates were looking for a first baseman, and guess what? They still are because this guy is not the answer. he deserves more time, I think, Dan, but man, he does not look like an answer to me.
No, the early returns aren't great. How chronic is this wrist injury? How much of a factor is it as he plays? I don't know if he's 100%. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying anything as if I'm hearing things, but when you have a, as we have been told, chronic wrist injury, that doesn't sound like it's going away, and it probably is a factor. But even still, let's take that out of the equation. That's a power position. I'm guessing that, you know, it was possible for the Diamondbacks to acquire the Naylor guy, but he's on an expiring deal. This is probably a case of Charrington maybe wanting his cake and to eat it too. With Horwitz, you get the contractual control, and that's what maybe tipped the scales, and I don't think they got the better player between Naylor and Horwitz.
I asked Limits the other day what he thinks of Nick Gonzalez, and he gave me the stock answer that I hear from Pirates fans, people around the team, and I have even said it at times. I like him. And I said, why? Like, he's okay so far. I'm open-minded about Nick moving forward. I want to see more. But quite frankly, I'm not seeing much from him. He seems to be an average defender. Not a ton of pop in his bat. He had a good run of clutch hits last year. For the 7th overall pick, I'm not seeing a ton.
No, for probably a number 7 hitter in your lineup, and that's assuming that he's an everyday guy. You do like the ability to hunt RBIs in crucial situations. That's something that is really not taught. You're basically born with it, and he seems to have that it factor. But, I mean, the jury, yes, still out. He's battled all sorts of injuries. But as we're trending right here, what does he wind up becoming? Is he at best a 245 hitter driving in, you know, 55 runs a year with 6 home runs in what still is at second base in offensive position when it comes down to it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's less than what you would expect from the 7th overall pick.
So far we've mentioned a 1 overall pick and a 7 overall pick. And, man, I mean, the whole infield, even including catcher, I believe the whole entire Pirates starting infield, if you either Bart or Davis, put one or the other, has combined for less than 10 home runs. 5 guys!
Well, I think that, I believe, 6 of the 9 hitters in yesterday's lineup had a OPS south of 700.
All right, well, that brings us to O'Neill Cruz. I believe they have 3 more years of control over him, if I'm not mistaken. Every time I think he's ready to move into that next stratosphere, he moves back into the previous stratosphere. I don't know about his about his command of the strike zone, about his pitch recognition, about his ability to hit lefties. I'm astounded that Don Kelly continues to bat him leadoff against lefties. It makes no sense. And I don't know, it feels like the George Pickens contract thing. I go back and forth every week. Is this a guy I want to put $150 million into?
No, he's not.
Your thoughts?
At this point, he's not investable. Just when to regurgitate what you said, just when you think he is, then that's plenty of counter evidence that he submits to make you pull back and click the pen closed. Say, let's wait a little while longer. No, I mean, he's really the definition of 3 true outcomes. Hard contact when he makes it, but that's far too infrequent. He does walk a lot. That's good. So the left-handers, you run him out there because of what he did last year in showing that he could hit left-handers, but he is definition of 3 true outcomes to the extreme.
Yeah.
And there's just way too much swing and miss to live. You can live with some if he's going to impact the baseball as he does and put up the numbers that he does at times. But it's still, when you average it all out, it's still far too infrequent, and he's still underperforming as to what his capabilities are. So at this juncture, no, not investable for that length of time.
I thought I heard Joe Block say last night on the broadcast that O'Neill Cruz both makes the hardest contact in baseball and the least amount of contact. Yeah. Is that right?
That's why I say the true definition of 3 true outcomes. It's basically homer, strikeout, walk. He is the embodiment of that. And again, far too infrequent contact for you to say, all right, this is investable, because when you're making such infrequent contact, you go away for 3 weeks at a time.
Right.
And if you're going to be 3 weeks off, 1 week on, I mean, that ratio, that's a 75-25 off versus on ratio. That needs to be a bit more balanced.
Well, this was depressing, Dan. Are you doing post-game tonight?
I sure am.
I think you're going to be talking about a no-hitter.
Why not a perfect game at this juncture?
I honestly think that if the Pirates get a hit tonight, it's going to be something lucky. Maybe they get two or three. I think you might be talking about a no-hitter tonight. But thank you for coming in. I appreciate it. That was fun.
Yeah, perhaps the ghost of Tabata will come and save us all with his elbow guard.
That's what I said. His elbow guard. Right. Or Aki's knee brace might come in handy tonight. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
That's Dan Zangrilli. Hear him on pre and post today. And the post game is just a must listen with Chuck in Uniontown often batting leadoff, even against lefties, just like O'Neill Cruz. And the big boy is next. Let's dive into some Steelers. Are they really better than they were last year? The big boy thinks that every player on the team is great at this point. I'm going to ask him if there's any starter that he doesn't think is a good player. That's coming up next on Pomp and Joe. It's 12:30. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And listen to this. Our first two finalists have been selected. Now it's time to see who's next up on the Fan. Come on out to Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg, Thursday, June 26, 7 to 9 p.m. to audition and see if you're the next Mulsey, the next host we hire on the Fan. You'll get 2 minutes to give your best, most entertaining take, and we'll pick two winners to go on to our final audition. Don't miss your chance. Thursday, June 26, 7 to 9 p.m., Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. For more information, including dates and locations, visit 937thefan.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
So you have a podcast, and you really want to make money with it. Then you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. Check this out. We'll host your podcast for free. You just do your show. We'll use the power of Odyssey's massive expert sales team to place ads in your show and make you money. Does it get any easier than that? Nope. You stay in control of your show, and we help you bring in the money. Sounds like a dream partnership. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start earning more from your content today.